This is what should be done by one who is filled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, or meeting man, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living here and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated and lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Very good. So, I have done this once before, but that was back in July, so... I think normally we just start out with some meditation instructions as usual, a bit of chit-chat about meditation. We have time for a half an hour sit, and afterwards maybe some question and answers, or we just have a discussion, that sort of thing. Now, so there's a lot of people I know from for many years, especially from the Serpentine community over at Bodhinyana, down south. There's a couple here who might have been here just once or twice. You were here last week, and that was your first time. Okay, cool. And maybe a couple of people who for whom this is their first time. So how many people have... Who's here for the first time?
First time.
So two, three, four. Oh, okay. Welcome, welcome. So I'm Ajahn Janarato. I'm a monk. I've been a monk for about 10 years now. For most of that time, have lived in the monastery in Serpentine, which is Bodhinyana Monastery, which is up on the hill there. So always a nice place to visit if you want to see a big flourishing monastery, but it's flourished to the point of capacity now as far as the monks are concerned. So I've moved up here with Ajahn Santuti, so I've been here for almost 2 weeks now. It's a very nice place, very lovely place, and we now have a forested property at the back, which I guess you could call it the west end of Wat Dhammayana Ram, which is this monastery. So it's intended to be one big place, although there's a lot of forest in between. So for those who haven't meditated before, new to this sort of thing, Buddhist meditation in particular, so there are a number of different techniques and methods and objects and stuff that people teach in various traditions, various monks, various teachers. Often we focus mainly on breath meditation here in our tradition, especially my teacher Ajahn Brahm is well known for his teachings on breath meditation, and I think we've usually got a few copies of the basic method of meditation lying around. If it's not, you can always find it online, so we can help you find that if you have any troubles. So I was going to say a few words about that. So generally when we talk about meditating on the breath, we start by developing a little bit of mindfulness in the beginning, sort of preliminary mindfulness, you could say. So typically we're in the present moment, so we're letting go of the past and the future, no matter how near or far. So often what the mind will want to think about is the day that's passed, just stuff that's happened through the day, the frustrations, the fun we've had, the excitement we've had, and what I'm going to do tomorrow. But it could also be other things, from the long distance past right up to what's going to happen in the meditation in the next few moments, what's going to happen next. So we talk of putting down the burdens of past and future, and actually discovering that the present moment is actually a very, very pleasant place to be. It does take time, it does take practice, so if you're just starting out as a meditator, or if you're like many of the people here, who've been meditating for a long time, or even myself who's been meditating for many years, it's good really just to cultivate the contentment with the present moment, with the way things are as they are in the here and now. So, and what you'll find is that after a while, just letting go of these thoughts as they come into the mind, so we don't try to sort of force them out or to sort of grasp onto them and just shake the life out of those thoughts until they stop. instead, we have this practice of contentment. We have these sort of landmarks of meditations. So we have times when we're in the present moment, and we recognize that, and that gives us a good feeling. And sometimes you'll have this stillness in the mind, the kind of silent mind, which is just a more refined way of being in the present moment. And with practice, you'll find that these moments will expand, and that's when it's most when it's easiest to watch the breath, and just watch it go in and watch it go out, and just being with that breath that's here in the present moment. So those are the kind of landmarks of meditation, and the sort of stages of meditation, if you like. But the way we approach it is to see that to see these landmarks, we can only get there by being content with what we're doing, where we are now. And you might find that if you've never meditated before, you'll find that 30 minutes might seem like a really long time, And that's fair enough, and you might spend that whole time just thinking about past and future, and you might think, I've failed. And there's absolutely no fail in meditation. You get the credits just for sitting here. You know, there is actually a benefit, even if it is novice at first. And what I've learned over the years is that a lot of the benefit of meditation is unconscious. It's something that sort of changes the underlying disposition of the mind. And we might not really realize this, but if we put in the time over, just maybe, if you're starting out, maybe just start by practicing maybe 10 minutes a day or something like that, or 5 minutes a day if that's good for you, and to choose the time of day that's best for you as well. So for some people that's the early morning before they start the work day, before the world starts to intrude. And for some, like myself, I find the evenings are actually really nice after all the work is done for the day, and maybe the kids have been put to sleep, and the day's business is kind of over. So that's just sort of a brief way of talking about it, and I don't want to give too many instructions, because a lot of the time when we're meditating, we like to tell the mind what to do, but instead, it's just intuitive, deep meditation is just one moment of contentment after another. So if you're finding any meditation that things aren't going right, or you just wish it would do this or that, then realize that that's the sort of thing that will get in the way. So just to relax, and I think even just being able to relax a little bit is of great benefit. I think that's pretty much the whole path of meditation, is just learning how to relax and let go, and just be content with the here and now, the way it is. So, next week we'll have Santuti back, and I think we'll probably be alternating from now on. So, so feel free after this meditation session to ask a few questions. Maybe you'll have some questions after your practice, and we can talk about that. Otherwise, there's always monastery gossip as well, which people like. They want to find out what's happening here with the community, which is always nice. And also, if you come back next week, you'll get Santuti's take on things as well. He's a very experienced meditator, and he's the, I guess we call him the abbot here now. Abbot Santuti, who would have thought? Cool. So perhaps we can just have a sit for half an hour, and I'll throughout the sit I'll be giving a few sort of hints to the mind. I'm not going to be telling you what to do, but in any great detail. So now's the time to relax and chill. Cool. Wonderful. Okay. So we start by just getting comfortable in our sitting position. If you can, just try and keep the back relatively upright. Close your eyes. And put your hands in your lap or on your knees. Whatever's more comfortable for you. And just take a few moments to become aware of the body. Do you notice anything uncomfortable, a tight piece of clothing, or an itch you had to scratch? That's fine, now's the time. Just get the body a little bit comfortable. To relax, to remind yourself, this is good enough. Take that big bag we call the past. Just this space, just put it down on the ground. Relax, I can wait. Wait for later. Any worries or plans for the future? Any anxieties? they're not so important, you can't just put them down too. Here in the present moment, what Dhammayana run? You feel that this is good enough, this is the best place to be. Take it easy. Body becomes calm and relaxed, and the mind follows. Enjoy the pleasure of having nothing to do, no responsibilities, the breath comes, you can make it welcome. Yeah, this is good enough. Maybe just one breath. That's fine, it can come, can go. And just return to the present moment. Thank you. Okay, so coming to the end of the meditation, now's the time to ask yourself, how do I feel? And say to yourself, well done. Having taken the time just to sit here and be peaceful and quiet. And be content in whatever happened in the last 30 minutes. So you can now open your eyes. Stretch if you need to. Questions about meditation to start with? Anything that springs to mind? Well, if this is your first time meditating, then just to understand it's a very gradual training. So, over time, you know, you'll see results, even if it might seem a little bit strange or unfamiliar at first. And if anyone has any questions about Buddhism or monks or monasteries, some of you are very familiar with monks and monasteries, some are new, that's fair enough. We
What is it that some people say at the end of the chanting?
At the end of the chanting?
Yeah.
Oh, sadhu.
Okay.
Ah, okay. It's the word sadhu. I think my teacher's translation of that word is awesome. So, wonderful, good, great. It's just expression of enthusiasm, I guess. Yeah. So you hear it quite a lot in Buddhist chanting. So sometimes the monks do some chanting, and then the lay people say sadhu, and chant something. We say sadhu. And anyway, it's just a way of I like awesome. Awesome's good. Cool. To bring into the Australian vernacular.
Going to wind up on the Urban Dictionary, you know that, right?
good. What's the Urban Dictionary? Should I know this thing?
It's where Ajahn Brahm and many, 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 many others have had the words that they've developed, such as mindfulness, published to the planet.
Oh, wow, okay. So it's a website, basically, and not just Buddhist, it's also it's the Urban Dictionary. Oh, it's good. Cool, I have to look it up. And, I suppose at this point I can give you a bit of a reminder that on Sunday we have the Katina here. So we have our annual Rains Retreat, which is a 3-month period following the sort of lunar cycle, and usually runs from sometime in July to sometime in October, and just finished 2 weeks ago. So we had 3 monks staying here in the monastery. So we had Sukakamo next to me, and we had Santuri, who is at his out with his family, but he was here for that period, and Venerable Kasapa. So And the three of them and myself will be here on Sunday to celebrate it's a celebration that happens at the end of the rains retreat. So yeah, so we finished up on the 25th, and then the following Sunday we had the Katina celebration at Bodniana, and then last weekend I think we had the last Sunday we had the Dhammasara, that's right. We had the Katina at Dhammasara, which is our nuns' monastery at Gijigana. So we have monks down at Serpentine, we've got nuns at Gijigana, and this Sunday we'll be doing the Katina here for this monastery. So especially for the three monks that spent the rains here. I just arrived here after spending the rains at Bodniana, so my last rains at Bodniana for a while, because there's no room for me to go back. So, so next year you'll see me here and for the rains, if all goes to plan. You can always expect to enjoy really good food on the Sunday, because everyone brings a plate, and there's always lots of really good food from various traditions as well. So it's always something to look out for. And it's also a good time for expressions of generosity to the monastery as well, for keeping us going as well. So that can be sort of material support, but also you're just turning up to give us a bit of encouragement here is good too, as this small community grows. So,
any other monks be coming here, or?
Any other monks? Well, at the moment we've...
I don't know, sort of Great Crest years, I think.
Yeah, I think we've made a really good contribution, I think, by having myself and Santuti give up our rooms at or our huts. We live in huts in the forest down there. We've got maybe 20 huts over almost 100 acres. And... plans to build some more, but they're all very much full. But I think with me and Santuti having gone, and I think Brunel Medito, some of you know, the Finnish monk, he's gone off to
Melbourne.
To Melbourne, yeah. To Newbury. To Chilly Newbury, which is just outside of Melbourne. So they the Buddhist Society of Victoria has a project there to build more huts there. And Medito's gone over there to look after the building project there. There's also stuff happening down at Albany. I think at the moment they're raising some funds. So I think one monk's gone to Santee Monastery in Bundaberg in New South Wales. So a few monks have left, and I think there's enough room at the moment for the monks that are there. But certainly we're looking to grow this place. We have the 10 hectares or so next to this property now, so we're sort of extending the temple into a sort of forest monastery, which means that we can build some more accommodation over there, and yeah, gradually build up a community here. So that'll take time, you know. For the nonce, you've got the three of us, and we've also got Rob up the back. He's helping us out. Doing a really good job making sure we get breakfast and do all the things we're not allowed to do as monks, like handle money and that sort of thing. Cook for ourselves. So we also have a shared meal each day. So many of you will be aware of that, but for those who aren't, around about 10:30, 10:45 each day, we have a meal, and that's brought by the lay people, and that's been working very well. Actually, we've been very well supported. We're very, very well fed, but we're not allowed to cook for ourselves or go shopping or anything. So we're very much reliant on that, and of course the food is shared with the people who visit as well. So that happens each day as well. So, but I think the main thing is just to take it slowly and. Build things up gradually. Myself and Santuti are sort of doing a few little renovation projects here and there. So slowly.
Is there any minimum distance between kutis?
Minimum distance. No, it isn't actually. I think the general principle of Bodhinyana was to build the huts in such a way as if you were to, well, each hut has a walking path, walking meditation path. So I haven't explained walking meditation yet, but that's also a common meditation practice. It's sort of like it's kind of like going to the pool. So if you like to go to the pool, so you have your little swim lane, you go up and down and up and down and up and down. And that's kind of what we do in walking meditation. So all the huts of Bodhinyana have a walking meditation path, and the general design monastery is that for pretty much every hut, if you stand on the walking meditation path or at the front of your hut, you don't see any of the other huts. And you might hear a bit of a whistle of a kettle or something in the distance, but generally it's pretty quiet. It's more the kangaroos that make all the noise and the kookaburras, but the sounds of the forest are okay. So that was the general plan. Over the road, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be very much up to the council as well as to what we can build over there, but we'll work with the council, and it might involve having a few rooms together or something like that to start with, but yeah, we'll work on that. We know with the project at Bodhinyana to build the hermitage up on the... I said we're on 100 acres. That's the main monastery. We've actually got another, I think... Trying to remember now, we've got the Jhana Grove.
It's huge.
It's huge. There's a lot of it. So we've got the Jhana Grove property itself, which is 140 acres. I think we've got another 150, all in that sort of area, all adjacent blocks. And so we've been trying to build to start with six monk's huts over at what we call the Hermit Hill, which is just part of the Jhana Grove property. And it's taken us 5 years so far. Just talking. We haven't built anything. We've got a small house up there with a few monks in it, but we've been dealing with the council for about 5 years now, and a lot of it comes down to safety regulations and especially with fire danger. We'd like to build our huts to a specification that they can be within the forest. And we don't have to go and clear all sorts of stuff to clear the whole hillside just so, you know, nothing gets damaged by fire. So it's very tricky. So I think with the approach that we have here at Wat Dhamma Yamaran, Wat Dhamma Yamaran, sorry, I get the pronunciation here, we're just going to see what we can get up and running quickly, and that might simply just be a little house for the monks to start with. But that'll probably be at the other end of the property. So I've started thinking of it as sort of like the east end and the west end. So this is the east end, and we're trying to build over on the other side of the property there too. So I had the good fortune to meet the people we sold the property we bought the property from, which was good. So. Very nice people. There's a existing building there, which was some stables. So, built about 20 years ago, and built by this lady's father. So, he was a master builder. So, it's a very well built building. So, we may be able to do something with it. And there's also some, the main reason to build that. In that part of the property is there's already some levelled areas, some house pads, I guess you'd call them, and they're all surrounded by these really well done retaining walls as well. They've all been, you know, all this stone wall. It's actually quite nice over there. So hopefully eventually when the property becomes ours, when the settlement goes through, we might be able to do a tour or two sometime, probably in the mornings, I think, because it's getting a bit hot. It'll be getting hot soon. By the time the settlement comes, it'll probably be quite warm. But we won't be able to show people over there and see what's happening. there's even a little trail along the river down the bottom there too, which is actually very lovely. That's the Canning Creek just running through the valley here. Brookton Highway on one side and then our property on the other. And yeah, there's a lovely little walk down there, pretty nice and cool. And I'm told by the people that sold us the property that the creek runs all year round, which is pretty unusual for this part of the for this part of the world. It's very dry Perth weather. Yeah, so we'll just see how we go. And I think with me and Santuti, Santuti's very talented in terms of with his building abilities. So we'll probably do as much as we can ourselves. You know, we'll get someone to do the brickwork, that sort of thing, and electricals and plumbing and stuff. But we'll probably be doing quite a lot of the work ourselves. So to reduce the cost of the whole project and let us go ahead a bit quicker. There you go. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Now 8 o'clock. Okay, so we have one last chant. There you go. Slide. Okay. This is just to cap it off. So now let us chant the verses of sharing and aspiration.
Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides the great virtues, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless, through the bliss that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nirvana. In every kind of birth, may I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my sacred support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Ah, it is. Okay, sorry.